This week, on an emergency episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line, Spielberg's family sci-fi bonanza Terra Nova, cancelled! Viewers respond in mass with a collective, meh. The most diehard of the fan base have threatened to bombard the Fox headquarters with hundreds of slices of plain white bread. What can this mean for the future of broadcast sci-fi? Also, shocking revelations on the latest episode of Walking Dead. Did they kill the wrong guy? Concerns assuaged only by rumors of a spin-off series to champion the rights of the post-apocalyptic downtrodden called Barnyard Zombie Attorney. This coming up, more on an emergency episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line.
Yes! Yes, guys, welcome to an emergency episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line. My God, how can they do it? Like, well, I have Carl here today.
What's happening, Kat? I'm freaking out.
And I have Stephanie.
I'm here. I'm so
yes,
here.
Yes. And I just heard the news. It was broken to me in a very snarky way by Daryl of the No Apologies podcast. And he was telling me in a way that, you know, sounded like he was kind of gloating and he knew it was going to happen. So he decided to rub it in my face. Damn you bastard. And so who saw it coming? I'm raising my hand.
I saw it coming.
You saw it coming, really? I don't know. There was something so generic and bland about Terra Nova. I was sure it was just going to stay on and on and on. Like those, yeah. I'm sorry, I really, the fact that it had Spielberg's backing, the fact that they put that money in it, even though for some reason we could never figure out where the money went on the show. Yeah. I really, really believe that this was going to be one of those that kind of hung in there. So I'm shocked. I am truly shocked.
I'm not shocked. It's super expensive. It's super expensive, and nobody really caught on. I mean, like, maybe, what is this with the white bread? Are you sending in?
Well, I thought they were sending in plastic dinosaurs.
I was cracking on that. No one is actually sending in plain bread. I was just cracking on the show.
Oh, that was such a great intro, Carl. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
I would hope that they would, but maybe
they don't accept those packages. They just straight up return them or throw them away. So it's not.
Returned white bread? That's weird. I think I would do the Dino Chicken McNuggets. I would send those in.
Well, they wouldn't ever go bad, so.
So true. Unlike the show. Zing!
No, I just really, I mean, like you said, Carl, I really thought this show would at least last another season just because the Spielberg factor and the other factor. I mean, this was a really big deal.
Okay, and, no, wait. What was the other factor? Because I got the
Spielberg. Because they have the writers that we like. You remember Escaveria?
Oh, yes. Yeah, well,
the other guy that we, that Berman?
Braga.
Yeah. And they had the guy from Avatar, and I just thought that they would treat it a little better, perhaps.
Well, I think Braga and crew always make good-looking things, but there's a problem. Sometimes they can stray too much into, you know, I guess the crossover non-sci-fi space. So, I mean, you know, they do kind of focus on the story, but they oftentimes tell stories that don't need science fiction to back it up.
And well, that's just to make it appeal to more people. I thought that's what they were trying to do.
Well, you got to be, there's got to be a blend, though. See, that's the thing. The whole reason it's science fiction and not Little House on the Prairie or something.
Oh, here we go.
Is because, you know, they work together. These elements, you know, fit together in a unique, seamless whole. And I never got that with Turner. It always, all of the technology and the sci-fi component of it felt out of sync. You know, it was just stuff that just didn't quite line up. Like, okay, we got the ability to time travel. We got superconducting, supercomputers buried underground, stuff running around. And we got dudes with binoculars doing lookout up in the little, you know, the little huts looking out over the way. I mean, that's, you know, it's like, where's your sensor technology? Where, there's just little things like that that is just, that did not kind of, didn't blend together. And I don't know, it just bothered me. It just bothered me throughout the whole series.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie, you had a,
I had a hold the tomatoes moment. So what I want to say is, it's, for me, it wasn't so much that the story was generic. It was that the story was mediocre. It's a cop out to say that, oh, it's so hard to, you know, bridge the gap between science fiction fans and, you know, the general audience. That's not true. Science fiction really, I think, in my opinion, it does it best. It incorporates those universal themes and truths and tells it in an interesting way and allows the writers to be, to use their imagination, you know, and to be very creative and telling a story that where the theme may be familiar, but the characters are not and the situation is not.
So, in the 80s and the 90s, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, even every book that I've read, you know, every classic science fiction book that I've read addresses these sort of maybe even family dynamics. Well, not every book that I read, but every classic science fiction book that I've read has addressed some sort of human universal truth. And it's told the story in a very unique way. This had the opportunity to do that, but instead it was totally family ties, and it was totally Ernest goes to camp. Like, everything was just mediocre. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, Michael J. Fox. But yes, I'm comparing the show to Family Ties.
Sha-la-la-la. Now, you do realize I agree with you. I mean,
my
point, I guess, is with a show like this, they are really, with all the money they put in, and of course with Spielberg's name behind it, I think they were trying to reach out to less of a science fiction audience to make this happen, which, I agree with you. I think that's a cop-out because the best science fiction naturally marries these things into something that is a whole.
Okay.
I hear you. But what I'm thinking happened is, you know, they said, wow, we're going to create a sci-fi program, but it's going to be different than regular sci-fi. This one is going to reach a broader audience, which meant that it was going to be extraordinarily lame, and it wasn't going to address a lot of the core stuff that science fiction is all about. And because, you know, from the other direction, when you put the logo or the name sci-fi on stuff, it alienates people. They won't even look at it just because it has that in the name.
That bothers me.
It bothers me too.
Because I don't get it.
But look, we're fans, so you know we know what to expect, and our minds are broadened, and we're just kind of ready for all kinds of stuff, as evidence of the fact we've given so many shows a shot. But so we're open minded, and we're giving stuff a try. But a lot of folks, you know, they hear that name on there, and they automatically assume that it is not that the stories are not going to be approachable to them. And, you know, and in some elements, you know, if you look at some really good sci-fi, some of this stuff with Fringe and some arcs and Babylon, if you just drop into it, it's sometimes a little tricky to get started with it. But the point is you're going to have a more ravenous fan base. You're going to have better stories overall. You're going to have a bigger audience that grows over time. But like I say before, you have to be willing to invest not just the money, but a little bit of time for sci-fi to build up to something like that. You can't start with something that, quote, crosses over and then expect the folks who are looking for deep storylines to go with it, and you know the folks who are trying to experience something new aren't getting enough new, and so it just kind of punks out. I don't know.
When I said maybe in the 80s or the 90s, I meant they could get away with, you know, creating shows like this, but they wanted to appeal to a broader audience because we have the, I guess, reality show factor, and they wanted to get in there and these days just get in there and just give them something generic that everybody can understand. But like Carl said, I think you don't get enough of everything, and it, like you said, Stephanie, it comes out mediocre. So I don't know if they could actually go back to making shows like they did in the 80s, 90s, 70s or whatever. But, I mean, those shows were popular and people actually watched those. And when you take out the soul of what science fiction is, yes, you're going to alienate some people. So they want to, I guess, slide in a science fiction show by Terra Nova by, like, putting dinosaurs in there and maybe some cool guns, but not call it science fiction. I don't know what they were doing.
And, you know, something I really don't quite get is, you know, I agree with you. The sci-fi in the 70s and the 80s and even a little bit in the 90s, was interesting. I think one of the reasons why they were kind of popular, even though they may have been a little shabby, is at the time, doing special effects was a big deal. So, you know, if you could get away with one or two halfway decent special effects in the episode, first of all, they knew ahead of time that they were only going to be able to afford one or two special effects. So they did something crazy, like actually put something like a plot around it so that they could, you know, maintain it. Now, we've had this chat before. Don't get me started on the Battlestar Galactica, you know, Vipers.
Oh, here we go.
Rolling left.
Here
and then
we
in
go.
The same episode,
do not
rolling
say shaking.
Right. But they're not rolling right. It's just the flip of the one that they shot rolling left, and it's the same shot every other. But the point is they knew they had, like, three special effects, and they were going to work them throughout the whole series, and they wrote the stories around. But here's the other thing.
Special effects are cheap now.
Thank
so
you.
So I don't
That's,
understand what
that,
the whole big deal is. So, I mean, okay, you can sit at home and you know, fire up Lightwave and make some stuff. I don't understand what the big deal is and the big cost and where this money went.
Here's the other concern. I'm with you. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, it seems like, what's going on with that? So the other issue I have is when you look at all of the old sci-fi stories and the stuff that they were doing back in the, like in the 80s, the technology and the vision of the future, not only was it bolder, but it seemed so different from the times that we were living in that, you know, it created an exciting space. Now look at what we have now. All right. So go back and watch Next Gen. Look at Picard's desktop computer. You know, his, what at the time, it had a flat screen on it, and it was portable. You remember how it's like they had the, you know, little pads they're walking around with?
Yeah, we have iPads
Dude,
now.
So. My, you know, the Mac we're recording on right now is smaller than Picard's little thing it was working on. And so if you're going to try to do something that's, quote, sci-fi, you really have got to give us something, you know, that's got a vision, that's got something
no,
big in the future.
Because all the people that make shows now, they just break out an iPad and, oh, this looks future. They put like a different bezel around it, and that's the future, and they don't go any further than that. And
that
bothers
sucks.
Me.
That's what I'm saying. You know, we need a bigger
vision,
of science fiction.
Oh, my God.
You know, somebody ought to come up with something. I mean, because, you know, now, if you look around, and you know, all the real sci-fi fans are jumping up, there's plenty of good sci-fi literature out there. Mm-hmm. There are books and there's stories out there that have bold visions of what the future is going to be like, and alien worlds and all of this richness. And if you look at the sci-fi they've been cranking out over like the past, you know, like 10 years, it's the same kind of bland, washed out. We've seen it before. You know, there are elements of it that are interesting, and you know, some of it I have been able to enjoy, but there's nothing that has been revolutionary in terms of what we've seen in sci-fi easily in 10 years. And that's why I'm wondering, you know, come on, you know, why, if you've got the budget and the name Spielberg behind it, why can't you come up with something that is really radical, that is really going to change? That's the way you're going to get people to
you
watch.
You know what had more of an audience? Alf. Alf had more of an audience. And well, see, that's why I consider this a fail, because Alf was more mass audience appeal, and it had more whatever.
I can't believe people watch that now.
Well, I can't believe so either. That's why it's such a fail that Terra Nova did so poorly, because we just came off of Avatar. We just came off of this sort of renaissance of these kinds of stories, and what the hell? These big names are behind it. It's all you can give me is like family drama. And then just at the end, right before they canceled it, then we're starting to get into some more interesting stories where we focus more on Taylor. I don't even care about his stupid son, Scrappy-Doo, whatever his name was. And then, I don't know, I liked what you said, Carl, about it taking a while to get into a show. But that's not just true for sci-fi shows. That's true for every show. And so they shouldn't be allowed to slide. They just needed to get people into the show with, you know, a little bit more creative plot lines, storylines. And they just didn't have it. I have, like, you know, I was more passionate about what I hated about the show than what I liked about it. So
I agree with you there. Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the little mini dinosaur thing that happened.
Thankfully, that was only one episode. I swear, I thought they were going to drag that out and become a regular
dinosaur
character.
I loved that. I wanted that one of my own.
That was so Hanna-Barbera. I was ready for the dinosaur to be living in the house with
them. You could put a little dinosaur in your purse and walk around and shop. No?
I didn't like all these stupid tests that Taylor put Shannon through. That was annoying.
Well, he got to take his shirt off, so...
He did get to take his shirt off, but there was no sexy time between Taylor and What's-Her-Face. That was annoying, because they totally would be hot together.
That was a good-looking couple. They were good-looking, yeah.
I know. They should air one last episode called Taylor and Mira's, sexy time.
Terra Nova After Dark.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You people.
Moonlighting.
I don't know.
Leave the kids in the Winnebago.
Oh, dear.
All these Triceratops jokes. I don't know. I just... it's okay. Whatever. I knew it was coming. It's kind of sad because I really liked the kind of cliffhanger episode that they left off with where they... there was a dinosaur that made it to the future.
Oh, yeah.
And, escaped and was eating people. And that was awesome. I was like, yeah, more of that. But, oh, well.
Just insanity.
I mean, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it because I don't have to look at Bert's eyebrows anymore. That child that has orange green eyebrows incarnate. It's just...
Oh my God, why do you keep picking on why everybody hated the son? He was okay. I don't know why I'm just giving so much leeway to this show. It's like I'm a Terra Nova apologist. I want it to, or defender, and I didn't mind it.
Look, this pseudo sci-fi insanity has got to end here.
I wanted more, but I liked what it was.
Here's what I mean. Now, what was our other one? Our ER in space. Defying gravity. Oh. All right. Okay. Now look. The first issue.
Oh my God! You're bringing that up.
Yes, DevGrab, bringing it back. Y'all didn't think I remembered. Right. DevGrav is another example, okay? So, Steph, you're talking about, me giving sci-fi a hard time about it taking a while to get started. Okay, now, you're right, but here's the issue. If you're trying to get a broad audience, if you keep cranking out cop dramas or mysteries, everybody sort of comes into that. You can drop in at any time and know exactly what to expect, what the space is going to be like, what the environment is like. When it comes to science fiction, you have to build a world first that you have to understand. So, I'm not saying it's an excuse for shoveling crap for a whole first season. What I'm saying is that if you do it right, it takes a while to make a believable world that you can really start to have fun in. So, with that said, despite the lamity of what Terra Nova and DevGrav gave us in the beginning, what happened? Like the last episodes before it was canceled, they start bringing actual sci-fi. They start bringing interesting storylines. They start bringing elements that we've been waiting for through the whole series that, of course, the actual sci-fi fans have abandoned it at this point. The folks who are, popping in and out, that thinking it's just like regular TV, they don't appreciate it. What all of the elements that were in the finale of Terra Nova, and Kat, you managed to hook me up with a couple of episodes of DevGrav, the ones after it had been canceled, the ones that never got aired, they were actually interesting.
They were.
What are they waiting on these shows that's taken them so long to deliver the stuff that's supposed to make it sci-fi? It's just ridiculous.
I think somebody wanted a payday. They say, let's put slap Spielberg's name on it. We'll get a whole bunch of money. We'll get our people paid, and then we're just going to cancel it.
No, come on.
That had to be it. That's what it looks like now. That's what it looks like there.
And effort goes into
I know that, but it's like but they know that Fox is going to cancel it. People know that Fox is going to cancel it. So people's like, let's get a quick payday. It looks like a quick payday because nobody could.
Fox hadn't canceled Fringe, and,
Because they want to keep Anna Torv on there.
No. There was no quick payday.
They wouldn't want to keep.
There was no quick payday. I'm sure that this
that looked like a quick payday.
No, I'm sure
because they wanted to say, "Well, we're going to get a whole bunch of advertiser money, and then we're just going to step out of it."
Oh,
okay. I agree okay, with so you conf- too.
Okay, fine.
I agree with you too that yes, the shows today have like kind of deliver in 40-minute chunks basically, and you know any person new to the show can drop in and feel like you know they don't have to catch up on anything. They can just watch a show and be done with it, and there's like no real attention span in any kind of general audience. I don't know that I agree with that statement totally, that there's no real attention span, because oh my God, if my parents can sit down and walk me through all the damn things that have happened in Grey's Anatomy, then somebody can sit down for a 3-show story arc in a sci-fi show. You know, like, people have the attention span for more. The problem is, Terra Nova was super generic. I mean, it was super just boring. I don't have an attention span for boring. I have an attention span for awesome. Like, yeah, man, I perked right up when T-Rex started biting heads off of people. I was like, heck yeah, what happened to this? Let's keep T-Rex as a pet. Come on, you know? It just was boring to me, the whole pseudo-dilemma of Bert Eyebrows from Sesame Street and the whole dilemma of, like, the Sixers and the math and the it wasn't interesting until, you know, I will admit that the whole episode where we learn a little bit more about Taylor's history and, you know, the ambiguity on whether or not he killed a man, you know, that he didn't agree with, or if that man was sent back to kill him, and you know, was it paranoia or was it self-defense? And you know, that was kind of getting interesting, but I don't know that it would have held my attention for much longer.
And you didn't need sci-fi to tell that kind of story.
No, you didn't. So right. You're so right. They could have done that on Alf.
Oh dear.
Oh. I'm just kidding. Hey Willie. Yeah, that's awesome.
So maybe this show needed some humor.
Humor. That's
it
the least.
Some humor. I laughed all the way least. Through the episodes every time.
To be fair, you cannot compare the audience for Alf for Terra Nova because simply because back in the 80s there were only like 5 channels, so there was nothing else that people could do other
true.
Than watch an alien threatened to eat a cat. That was it.
Alf or Small Wonder. That was
Ooh, God,
was miserable.
She's fantastic. Made of plastic. Oh yes. I hated Ooh, Small Barbie. Wonder. Because you see, look. Because you know, I've always been building robots, right? So all throughout the 80s, they see I'm building robots. They run up to me and go, "Hey, have you seen this show, Small Wonder?" Shut up. It's stupid. I'm not watching it. Everyone would ask me this. But it's got a robot in it. Yes, but I have an IQ. Get off of me. You know, it's just
Oh wow.
Microchips here and there.
Okay, Carl. No, no.
Yeah. Just hated it so much, but you can sing me the song.
I know.
I can sing the song of all 80s shows. I'm sorry. I guess it's just a thing.
Are you? Okay. So, well, you know, RIP, Terra Nova. I'm going to miss you. I enjoyed the prettiness of the show.
Wait a second. What is it? What did you just say?
RIP?
Okay, thank you. All right. Gotcha. Yes, go on. I'm sorry.
Rest in peace?
That's good. I got you. Go on. That's
you right. Were 12 years old.
I must have been chewing. I'm sorry. Go on.
Okay. Oh, God. I'm totally distracted now.
It's an emergency podcast.
Yeah, the emergency podcast to talk like this. Okay, fine. No, I just... I'll miss it. I guess, but you know, maybe something else good will come out. I think the reason we're suffering with space right now, I think Neil deGrasse Tyson put out a new book about why space is like not cool anymore and why the government is kind of abandoned it, and it's because we're not at war with like Russia and we're not in a space race or anything, so nobody cares because nobody's better at space right now and they're not a threat.
You've signed it 2 years.
Yeah, but I still that even with that, you know, U.S. has given up everything, so we'll just probably roll over and say, yeah, China, just do it, whatever, go ahead. But
we can't afford it.
Yeah, we can't afford it, and I don't think we could afford it then. And, but, you know, so I guess since, you know, space isn't cool and space is apparently dumb now, that we're just not going to get anybody looking to the future for that futuristic style. And I think it's kind of sad because I really, really enjoyed the future. I wanted a moon base. I wanted that. I wanted a, you know, Deep Space Nine Babylon 5 station out in space. Why? It's cool. You know, maybe, you know, financially we could have figured out something for it to do.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, some of the writers that may be on these shows, maybe they don't have an affinity that we do.
Obviously.
Well, I mean, the thing is, maybe they're too young to know what that's like, you know, to be interested in space and spaceships and space shuttles. I mean, I grew up in Texas. I remember watching the space shuttle come back in.
Yeah,
from my Dallas home in the night sky, it would just look like a shooting star. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. And then to know seconds later that it's going to be in Florida. I mean, that's just really cool to me. But maybe that's just not important to people anymore. Like you said, Kat, earlier about, you know, reality television and how, you know, we're all self-made stars, and so we don't care about being creative and actually, you know, writing really interesting stories. I personally feel that this crop of shows in the last few years, that's been really lazy.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. Yeah, just because we're all doing prequels and sequels and adding, you know, digitally adding characters to our 30, 40 year shows, then, you know, just because we're being lazy about that and sitting on our laurels, it doesn't mean that there are not people out there willing to write a good story. It's just not the quick buck. But I really did think that Terra Nova is a big fail because it had a lot of good potential. It had a good executive producer. It had good actors other than Bert and Ernie guy.
Oh, gosh.
And it had sexy people. They were all very beautiful with very white teeth.
And apparently people hate fat. Like,
they ain't keeping it real. They ain't keeping it real.
Whatever.
Well,
dude,
okay.
And you.
It, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in that camp too. Like, if I see all pretty people, then I'm starting to freak out and have a negative body image. but yeah, I mean, it just on the heels of Avatar, Steven Spielberg's name's on it. It's not even set in space. It's set on Earth, for crying out loud. You know,
Planet Canada.
Australia. It was New Zealand or something, or Hawaii.
Yeah, I remember it wasn't Canada. I don't remember where. I think Frodo Baggins was an extra.
And you know, you say it had dinosaurs. Apparently only four. I only remember seeing them four times in the entire series.
And they had those, like, dinosaur bats.
Yeah, there was that one. Birds or whatever.
Oh, jeez.
And then there was,
birds.
Like, the little raptors.
You know what,
guys?
We're not going to go into detail. We just know. yeah, because we need to get to Walking Dead. Because we're going to start. It's just ridiculous. So is that the real end of Terra Nova? Or are there any episodes left? Do we know anything about that? Like, are they going to, like, air all some lost episodes in one day? We have to sit there for 6 hours and watch the last six episodes or something.
That's a good question.
I think they're going to try and earn their money back in DVD sales. Mm-hmm. They'll probably Blu-ray sales. I think they'll just keep that as the complete season and then have all these extras and unaired episodes. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, there was also, you know, people are asking if maybe another network will pick it up or somebody else will pick it up. But, you know, here's the thing. As much as it costs to create Terra Nova, you see what we were given. If they were to move it to another network, the budget would be slashed which means that we would have even less of the spectacular special effects that we were hit with, which, I mean, clearly, they'd be doing it like out of a cardboard box or something. I can't imagine, you know, less of what we saw on Terra Nova being delivered anywhere. So I don't have a lot of hope for it being picked up anywhere. I just can't see how that would work.
Yeah, let's just let it end, because it's like, if they can't do it in the spirit of which it's done now, which was already cheap, then no.
No,
cardboard box.
Let's admit it. Somebody's going to have this great idea for a show in 2 or 3 years, and it's going to be totally Terra Nova. But, you know.
Yeah, they call Primeval?
Ooh, you'd have to go there. But, yeah.
Well done.
And you know what? I'm sure it'll be way better. Because, you know, the simple thing, like I said, I agree with
you. There's so much hope in that statement.
There was, no, but I agree. You know, Steph was right. This series started with a whole lot of potential. And the frame of what it is unusual. It's a little, you know, freaky. But the frame of what is there could have been good. But it was just rampant media. Like I said, the pilot was actually pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And then the second one in, The Birds. Oh. Come on, really? I couldn't believe they did that at the time. And this is the kind of stuff you get when, you know, you lead in with something great, you kill off the audience in the second episode, and then you kind of limp along throughout a season and then try to arc it big in the end. That you got to keep people episode to episode.
But don't you think that if you keep preaching the same thing, we say this about so many several shows, that something else is going on, like somebody wants a payday or somebody method to...
Yeah, like, no, people are trying to deliver the cheapest possible show is what it is. They call it science fiction because, you know, they want to bring in passionate fans like us. But then what they end up delivering, they are always watching the dollar. And so what happens is they have to cheap out on all of the stuff that would make the show unique. And then because they wanted to, you know, be approachable by a broad audience, then they have to dumb down the technology. I mean, geez, if you want to go back, look at some of the early hype about what Andromeda was going to be about.
Oh, dear.
Okay, now hang on.
Doing that
again. No, wait.
Okay.
No, just wait. I mean, because... Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda, right? If anybody is old like me and can remember just before Andromeda came out, they were talking to people from NASA about, you know, what the technologies in the future were going to be like. They were talking to AI researchers. They were talking about all of this stuff that was going to be in Andromeda. And so, you know, it's like the science was there, the core was idea. Okay, it had Roddenberry's name associated with it. And then what we were delivered was purple elf girls, you know, and teddy bear monster vampires come around. And I'm sitting here going, wait, what happened to everything that was supposed to make this? And, you know, it's like even people in the show are like, we know, look, we're just trying to make it on here. I'm sorry. So this thing keeps repeating. And what happens, it's like something happens between the concept and delivering it to the mass that it gets watered down and dumbed down and cheapified, so that everything that would have made it really unique and bold and new science fiction, somehow it just keeps getting washed out before it even hits the screen.
That's because the people at the top see us as total geeks that live in our basement.
Like, well, if that's the case, why don't they let geeks work on the show?
That's what I'm saying. Like, the poor geeks that have their souls killed every year because they think they're going to break out with a great sci-fi series finally. They move up in the food chain and they realize that they have to sanitize the crap out of everything. And then their souls die. And then they just get a Prius and move on. Like, literally.
So you say
this is what happens year after year because dude at the top makes jokes about everybody living in the basement at their parents' house with their D&D dice and blah blah. No, yeah. That is not what the geek looks like today. I mean, that's not.
And if
what
they
the
do,
geek
they go
like
on
10
to create,
years ago or 20 yeah, years ago.
And if they are, they go on to create Apple and Google. You know,
yeah.
So why would they be influential or anything?
Yeah, you know what? I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of being a total OCD geek that collects things.
So what you're saying about, you know, modern sci-fi television, it's sort of like the canary in the coal mine, where it's like everything that comes out of broadcast TV these days is trying to really be, you know, dumbed down. It's not really exciting. It's not really bold. It's just that we in the sci-fi genre are more sensitive to the edges of that being whittled away, you know, because everything else that's on TV, you could say the same, but it's just not as noticeable when it's a, you know, sitcom or when it's a drama that everyone's seen or when it's a medical show that everyone's seen that before. When it's sci-fi, the edges are so much sharper or are supposed to be so much sharper and bolder that, you know, we can really see the dumbing down with
well, yeah, when sci-fi seems tired, maybe it's time to go back to the thinking room, put your thinking cap on, and go, wow, you know what? So space in the future is boring. How can we make this interesting again? Because, God damn it, it is interesting. You know?
I agree.
Sorry.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. And I agree with you guys, but I don't know. It's just, it's bleak. So Terra Nova. It is bleak right now.
Well, it is for Terra Nova fans, all four of them.
Well, I mean, but the problem is, you see what's happened. You know, with the Sci-Fi Party Line used to have a plethora of shows to talk about. You know, we'd go about, oh, did you see what happened this week? Ha, 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 and we'd be laughing. Last year, I was going, where is science fiction? We've got like 2.5 shows on. They're killing it. And Kat was like, well, Terra Nova's coming out. And I would say, I hope it's good, because if it's not good, then the broadcasters are going to say, see, look, we gave sci-fi a try, and
you
this is what happened.
Me.
Hence bleak.
And so this is why I agree it's bleak. Things are because they think that this is what science fiction is about, and so they won't take chances on anything else because this is what happens.
I watch 70% more television now that I know you two, so...
but we have to, like, replace... We have to watch different things now, so half the shows we watch are not... quotes, you know, science fiction. We watch horror now. We watch fantasy.
Yep.
So there are other shows we have to fill in. So yeah, we're bringing in more shows, but you know, I want to go in space. I want a space show.
We will soon be the only sci-fi podcast with no sci-fi shows to talk about. Like, dude, you see Housewives?
Yeah, because I gave the Misfits UK a chance, and just to find out that they were about like people getting superhuman powers from an electrical storm.
Alphas.
Yeah, and I was just like, I don't care about this. I want space. I want some crazy ass uniforms in space, talking about something, flying around, dealing with the alien amoeba or something, attacking the ship. I just want to see that. I just want the adrenaline of
it.
Yeah,
year.
You know what?
I think a lot of people miss that though too. Guys.
Yeah, so I want that. I want some pew pew. I want some, you know, I just want something in space. That's really what I want to see.
Something good. So yeah, please, right. Something good in space, because had something in space.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I'm just saying that because, you know, Terra Nova had a rebreather and you know, a futuristic shot. I was just like so desperate for something futuristic that I was just like, yes, yes, they had a rebreather. Oh my god, they put an iPad on there and it was see through.
Don't forget the binoculars had gold on them, so that's really the future.
Shiny.
So those were awesome. The rebreathers. I was
in love.
I was too. And then they went back. Then they went back to the future. It was just. Pressing.
Yeah, like, let's not rehash that. But
now there is one final issue that needs to be addressed regarding Terra Nova. The more important question I need to ask is, Kat, you were starting to enjoy Terra Nova, weren't you?
You know, I liked it from the start. Liked it.
Yes, and we know about you enjoying sci-fi shows. What happens when Kat likes a sci-fi show?
You know what?
I am simply going to say that all the other things that we have said are moot. The truth is, it's Kat's fault. Kat did it again. She did.
That is unacceptable. I am so sick of people saying stuff I like. Oh, it's gonna get canceled. You know what? That is not cool. That's not cool. I like a lot of things that aren't getting canceled.
I think Carl doth protest too much.
Nice. So, let's end on Terra Nova. I think we've ranted enough on Terra Nova.
Yeah, we have. Yeah,
we have ranted enough. Now we're going to get into The Walking Dead.
What the? I do not believe children and the elderly are not safe on Walking Dead. What, Nick? They're going to start killing off puppies next? Is that what's coming for Walking Dead? No one is safe on the show.
Oh, my God. We've been complaining about the farm and this, that, and the other. What I thought about this episode with Dale, it was just he was running around. He was trying to tell people, you know, if we kill this guy, we're not going to be civilized anymore. We're going to, you know, be in a state of nature at war. We're going to be just savages. And he was just really strong in this episode. What I did not realize that because he was so strong, that meant that they were killing him off.
Yeah, it was
it's the Project Runway method of killing That's people awesome. Off. Because it's like, you know, when they show a designer and that designer gets a lot of airtime, that dude's getting a fist. So I mean, Dale was making some really good points. I really, you know, it's like, you saved the guy, why we're going to cap him now? You know, and I just really was fighting for him, and I saw his point, and he fought so hard only to get his guts torn out by zombie.
Not just a zombie, the mud zombie that got away from little Carl. That
yes,
is just heartbreaking. Oh, don't do that. I promise you, I will not be wandering through swamps looking for zombies. That ain't me. That is not me. I would be staying in the barn where mama said. So yeah, that was, that's going to be ugly.
That's heartbreaking, yeah.
Because poor Carl is having a hard time. You know he's acting out because he's having the trouble between, you know, dad and uncle, you know, going on there. He's already feeling the pressure and the stress of that. So he's acting out by running out into the woods and, you know, hanging out with the locked away guy in the barn and messing around. But now, you know, with all that stress on him, now he's going to completely feel responsible for the death of Dale now. For the little kid, you know, people having enough stress and enough trouble on this show as it is, for him now to be taking on the death of the only sign of humanity on the show,
right?
This kid ain't going, this is not going to go well. This is not going to end well for him. Because, yeah, think about it. Poor Carl's had a rough time. His little girlfriend got zombified. You know,
he doesn't believe in heaven anymore.
No, he's given up on any faith now that's going on. You know, his dad won't just shoot a guy. He's just like, come on, dad, be tough. No, his dad wussed out. He can't do that. So now he's lost faith. And then the crazy dude he's listening to, you know, Baldy's trying to take over the whole joint. And then he couldn't shoot the zombie he stole the gun to kill. I mean, it's just one thing after another. This poor guy who's, you know, kind of been in the background. Yeah, he's got some problems.
I wonder
now.
If Carl would be into space and space shows.
Not anymore, because he has no faith. His soul is gone. His soul is gone.
So Steph, come on.
Oh,
give us some insight.
So it's a really great episode, but it was just very, very sad. The whole thing was very sad. And also angering.
Oh yeah,
she's.
I don't have the same compassion for Carl as Carl has for Carl.
That's weird.
I recognize that Lori and Rick, it's ultimately their responsibility to, you know, watch their kid and make sure that he is dealing with things, you know, in a way, and maybe not wandering around in the swamp. But at the same time, dude's like 9. He should know better than to just, you know, throw rocks at a zombie and then get close.
Parents, I know. His whole world is upside down.
I can't tell you how many parents have gone home and said, kids, don't throw rocks at zombies. It could have been clear. It should have been clear. That's just bad parenting, really.
Well, I'm just saying his whole world is upside down now. He doesn't know. He doesn't have those signposts of civilization anymore. So, you know, he's not. He's just all over the place.
I think that it was deftly maneuvered in this last episode. The subtleties in what we were supposed to take away from this episode were really cool. So Carl is going through, you know, his thing, and Rick is going through his thing, and they're related to each other more so than both Carl and Rick know, you know, Dale is going through his thing where it's interesting because, you know, I felt for Dale in this last episode, but then he just started to annoy me. He started to remind me of those people in Survivor that know they're about to get, like, voted off the island. So he's going around to all of the different camps and pleading his case. That's kind of how it felt to me. I'm sympathetic to him, and of course I'm sympathetic to what he had to say. But I can see why people in the camp may have been like, you're delusional, man. This doesn't take away our humanity. We're just trying to be safe.
So do you think he had a point, or was it too little too late? Like the people on Survivor, they should have been making their case all along,
He did have a point, but did he have a solution? No.
The solution was not to kill the guy.
Well, no, that's not a solution. That's just more problems, right? So, like, you don't just walk around and make your pitch with, oh, we shouldn't do this. We should not kill the guy. And then leave. You have to have some sort of plan.
Well, the plan was not to kill the guy, to incorporate him into the camp. And the thing is that you didn't kill the guy at first. You had enough. You went through the effort of saving him, of pulling his leg up. You went through that great effort to do that. You didn't want to kill him on sight. So there had to be something about this guy that you wanted to save, that you saw, you know, that, like, why all of a sudden now he has to die because you think he's going to go back to the other camp. I think he was very truthful when he said he just knew those guys. He had no loyalty to them, and they left him behind. So why is he going to be loyal to them?
Well, see, I don't know. I agree with you. I absolutely agree that Dale had some very true things to say. But I don't know. Well, the thing is, Rick and Shane took the guy out 18 miles out. They were gonna just drop him outside. Right. You know, yeah, sure, he probably would have died, but they weren't. You know, it's kind of like they weren't gonna pull the trigger themselves. They were just gonna leave him out there, and then dude mentions, you know, in a dumbass way that he knows Maggie from school, and that's the point where he signed his death sentence. It wasn't before that. They didn't know that they were going to kill, or that,
okay, you
know,
yes,
they didn't have an intention to kill the dude physically with a gun or a knife or anything like that. They were just going to let fate deal with him and you know,
that is, but correct, then,
dude said, I know where Maggie lives, basically. And they're like, now you have to die.
Right.
So
right.
What Dale said was true, but also things change. Maybe not, that this guy would have been a great asset to the camp. You don't know, especially when he says the people that he ran with were, like, bad and, like, raped women, and
he could have kept that story to himself. He really should have.
Well, at the time, he was about to have his leg torn off, so he was having some truth issues.
No, he said that this episode.
Yeah, well, he was being tortured at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so, all right.
We've established that he doesn't have a filter. So, I mean, he's a stupid kid, right? He doesn't. He just says what comes to mind and doesn't think about a situation. So,
what's really
true? I think what he said is true, to be honest.
What's really interesting in Walking Dead in general is the subtle attention they pay to details. Mm-hmm. Now, when we're trying to watch the construction of this character, you're right. The one thing that jumped out and determined that was his death sentence was saying, oh yeah, I went to school with her, dudes, don't leave me here. Bam. That one little thing. But here's something else. When Carl snuck into the barn and was talking to him, and you know, he was talking to Carl, and you could tell, you know, he was scared and he was desperate. But how he was talking to Carl at that time did not make him seem like a good guy. I mean, they were very, just the way that he was trying to, you know, it's clear, yeah, that he was trying to get free, but it's bad enough that you're trying to manipulate a kid to set you free, mm-hmm, which is something that we as the audience sees that not everybody saw. But that last little piece where he's going, well, you know, you can come with us, you can come with me. wait a minute now. Yeah. He's trying to steal a kid now? So
yeah,
and he kind of jumped at him too.
Yeah, I mean, that part, which of course, you know, no one but little Carl knows, and he probably would not be able to articulate, you know, why that was particularly bad of him. No one but the audience knows about that. So it makes Dale's pleas for humanity even more tragic, because, you know, he's out there doing this stuff. He's out there politicking for this guy. He's trying to save some last vestige of humanity. And not only, you know, did we hear the stories that, you know, he was firsthand witness to the rape, but now he's trying to make off with a kid. It's just, you know, that's just the pain they bring down. This is the kind of richness I'm talking about. That
it was about the guy, but it really wasn't about the guy, because it's like, if you yourself have never killed a person, you're still in a state of innocence. But once you first take that person's life, you are forever changed. And that's the point that Dale was trying to make. Right up until this point, they, you know, are innocent. They have not taken just an innocent life for sake of like they're doing now. But once they cross that line, how many more lines are getting crossed? It makes me think about Voyager and Janeway, and how she really was into keeping the rules of Starfleet and keeping the trappings of Starfleet and stuff like that. And she didn't want the crew to fall into chaos. And I think that they were trying to do that here. But at the end of Dale's rant, he was saying how, you know, if we don't do this, that we're going to lose civilization and it's going to become savage, and we're just going to be, you know, uncivilized. I started to feel like, well, we're kind of already there. Mm-hmm. We're kind of already there. And I also felt that, yes, I wanted to save the guy, but if you kill him now, you don't have to worry about any more problems with him. If the problems are over, you don't have to worry about if or managing him or following him around or feeding him and stuff like that. It's a horrible solution, but it is a quick one, and there's less stress. So, I mean, how do you...
I think, yeah, you're right. Those issues are valid. And I like the way that they... went through that. Sorry, my dog's barking.
Zombies, girl. You got zombies in the backyard.
That is Briscoe County Jr. barking. I like the way they portrayed that whole sort of story. Carl is the innocence there, and he's kind of teetering on the edge. He's navigating through the entire episode. And he's going through with a child's eyes, and he's witnessing very adult things with a child's eyes. And I think that that was very intentional, because in order to step back and see things on a very, from a very top level view, you really need to kind of look at it as if you've never considered it before, or you've never looked at it before. And so, you know, Carl's curious. He's generally just curious about things. But he should know better. And when we want him to know better, but he just doesn't. You know, he's a kid, like Carl said. Like our Carl said. And so, you know, he wants to see the prisoner. And probably because everybody said he can't see him. You know, so he goes and he sneaks in. And but the interesting thing about that scene, it wasn't just about the weird slimy guy that was pleading for, you know, for his life. It was also that Carl was sort of changing too in that moment.
Defined.
You know.
Yep.
And that then he goes out and he feels a little bit you know, more empowered, and he goes out and he's looking for trouble, and he finds it in the swamp, you know. And then, but the best part about that scene is it is so childlike, because he can't possibly understand the situation. It's like he's looking at a killer across the swamp, and he's throwing rocks at it, You know, yeah. he cannot see it in the way that he needs to see it. And then it's almost like he goes to it and pokes a stick at it, you know, too. But
he literally, and, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah. And of course, you know, he's learning his lesson there where, you know, he gets the crap scared out of him because the zombie, you know, manages to break free of the mud. And he's crying and he loses a gun and he runs away and he's ashamed. And of course, it's because he's ashamed and he doesn't want to tell anybody about this imminent danger to the farm that Daryl goes. And, you know, I think that as sad as it is, Carl needs to feel that kind of guilt.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? He was responsible for, I think I said Daryl, but Dale.
Yeah.
He was responsible for Dale's death. I mean, indirectly, he was responsible. He should have spoken up and said, you know what?
He might.
There's a zombie out there. I couldn't kill it. You know, he didn't even have to say that he, you know, he didn't even have to incriminate himself. You know, he could have just said something, but he...
No, they would have got it out of him. I think they would have got it out of him, though.
I think so, but it's just, it was so well done, but it was so sad. Yeah. Dale, I agreed with everything Dale said, and I really admire that he kept saying it, even though it was so obvious that he was losing the argument.
Look, he went up against Shane. Just went up in Shane's face and said, "This is a bad idea. Come on."
Yeah,
that was awesome. That was awesome. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But Shane was a little. He respected him enough to actually listen to him.
Exactly. Even Shane was sitting back, going, "All right, crazy old man, I'm gonna let you have this one. This you in my face. I respect that. I'll give you this one." But yeah, that was a powerful moment.
You got some nads.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, and you know what, though? He had nads before when he was trying to hide the guns.
True, true. Guns. Yeah, no, Dale has been the voice of reason for a long time. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so Dale at the end, I just thought maybe he would get away. This was one of those things that happened when zombies get on top of you. I did not expect the zombie to dig into his guts and pull them out that way.
And what was on the zombie's hand that you could just rip a dude's guts out like that? I was really, that's some zombie strength. I was impressed.
Well, they do. They're pretty strong. But apparently can't pull themselves out of mud. So
he was really bony. I mean, maybe his fingers or the skin had worn away, and it was just phalanges or something. I don't know.
Zombie Wolverine.
Well, yeah. You know what I thought? Do zombies eat cows the way that zombie does? Do they do that? Because Dale looked at when he saw the cow, he kind of it felt like it was bizarre to him.
Yeah, that's a good question. Because, they eat anything, I think. So that probably was just a snack.
Yeah, remember when they gutted that zombie and expected to find a full undigested Sophia in it? Remember that? Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, apparently it had eaten like a rabbit or something.
Okay.
That day. But anyway, you know what really went through my mind, because it was so foreign to me that Dale might actually die. So I never even thought that when it was, you know, when right before it happened. What was scary to me was that cow was completely disemboweled, but totally still awake and doing stuff. And I'm like, zombie cow?
Zombie cow. I was definitely the same thing. I was ready for zombie cow.
It was because it had the weird eyes and it was just like,
well, we've got a new trouble, guys. You know, how do you go back to the camp and say that? They're zombie cows now.
And what was he doing out that way? What was he doing? Was he going back to the trailer? What was he doing at that particular moment?
He was a man alone with his thoughts.
And a gun. That dude did not help.
I thought he might actually leave the camp. I mean, that dude is not... Well, he said, I don't want to be any part of it. And part of me thought, well, he's being super dramatic. But then part of me thought, well, maybe he's going to leave, you know.
I would assume he would have brought more stuff with him if he was really leaving. Because I was wondering that, too. I was like, is he really leaving? But the reason I said man of his thoughts, he's a smart guy. He's fairly well prepared. He would have had more stuff with him if he wasn't coming back.
That's true. But Zombie Cow freaked me out. And then... as soon as I saw that, I mean, it's like they didn't even let you. The whole episode up until that point had been so thoughtful and methodical and pragmatic. Like, it was just classic in the way they dealt with it. Almost like a Harper Lee novel or something. I mean, it's just really, really good. And then
12 Angry Men, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you just realize at the pit of your gut that he's going to turn around and there's going to be a zombie there.
Same zombie from the swamp.
Oh, yeah. And you know, everybody's sense of irony was just merged as one at that point. it was heartbreaking to me. I thought, because like you, Kat, I thought he was going to make it. I mean, he's one of the main characters. How could he die?
I thought Shane was going to go before him.
Yeah, especially since he's the moral compass of apparently now of the show. And then, pew, done. There you go. There's your pew, 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 done.
Sadly, but not man, even in a sci-fi context. It's a zombie pew is what we're doing now.
Yeah, pew brains. But so, what got me was that here again for the second time in this episode, Rick could not shoot somebody.
Rick really kind of pissed me off in this show, in this episode.
Well, no, I liked it because I like that he just was not going to kill the guy. I didn't want him to do it in the first place. I want something else to go on. I'm not sure what, but I needed some time to think about this guy. I wanted him to prove himself evil and then I, you know, cap him or whatever. And then when it's time to cap Dale, we don't know what he's like gasping like a zombie. Did he lose his vocal cord? Can he not talk because his guts are hanging out? Like, did he want to die? Was he batting his eyes like one for yes, two for no, kill me? Like did it seem like he put his forehead, he raised his forehead to the gun and was like, shoot me now? You know, what was going on? Did Dale want to die? Did he want to try to survive? I don't know. It just was a whole lot of things going on because, to me, Rick didn't shoot him, and what's this guy? Redneck had to come in and shoot him.
Well, what's interesting about that is that Rick probably had so much respect for him that he couldn't. But
oh, no respect for Sophia though. Well, she was a zombie, so. Yeah.
I don't remember if he raised his head to the gun.
He did at the end. That was quite noticeable, and I was looking for that.
Okay.
So that was, that was a conscious choice on his part.
Okay.
Oh, well then. See, I don't remember that at all, so that kind of changes it a little bit.
And actually, I was a little surprised that he didn't do it when Rick had the gun out there. Maybe it was he didn't have time, or you know, it was. I don't know what the deal.
He was in shock because his guts were hanging out.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, it was probably something like that, but still.
He was coming. Maybe he was coming to the realization himself that he couldn't be saved, and it just so happened that he consciously made the decision when Daryl had the gun.
Thank you.
Right.
Oof, that's so sad to me. I like him. I liked him as a character.
It was awesome. Dale. And it really leaves you to wonder, what's going to happen to the kids now? Because they were, you know, just teetering on the edge of sanity anyhow. And poor Dale's coming in. And, yeah, I mean, little Carl, like I said, he's trying to find his way. He's growing up. He's a kid and everything. But he's looking for role models right now. And he's looking to either Shane. And you can see it in him. He's looking to either Shane or Rick to try to determine which way to go. And
that's why he's having problems.
That's why he's having problems. And that's why he's acting out as part of the frustration. But, you know, if you, the moral play that is Shane versus Rick just all throughout the whole show is like, you know, do you take the quick answer? Do you take, you know, what's simple? Do you fend for yourself and you don't think about broader themes? Or do you try to be, you know, a little bit more evolved? Do you try to have some sort of a loss separate from your immediate needs and immediate situation? And the problem is, sometimes the moral, ethical path takes a little longer, and it's a harder path to go. And
especially with zombies running around.
Yeah. Oh, So if you're a kid and, you know, all you can see is your dad's not shooting a guy that's maybe dangerous. And, you know, Shane and even, you know, with Rick out there with the cool motorcycle and everything, it seems like they have the answers because what they deliver is faster. Then, you know, it's a tempting path. The dark side is always easier. Oh, no, it's here always.
Well, for me, it's Shane isn't wrong. He's not wrong in what he wants to do. It's just he's wrong. I don't know, just inherently as a person. But what he wants to do isn't necessarily wrong. It's just that the two of them aren't striking a balance, and it's very obvious that things are unraveling.
Shane.
Rick isn't wrong either. It's just
no. With Shane, though, you can say it's the overarching ideas are working, but the implementation is the problem.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely.
That's what the issue is. And see, but that's what requires the time and thought. See, if you go with the quickest possible, simplest solution, you're Shane. I mean, that you know, oh yeah, I got to get away from a team of zombies. There's a slow big dude next to me. Bam! I'm out of here. You know, I saved you all. I'm a hero. You know, it makes total sense to Shane. That works. I am sure that, you know, Chunky would not agree with you that was a whole pass.
Pudgy McPudgerson.
So, you know, Shane, the quick answer, like I said, it is a solution. And the quickest solution is often a solution, but you got to be careful because sometimes it's a slippery slope.
Yeah. At the same time, you know, Rick taking forever to come to a conclusion. It's like he doesn't make decisions until they are forced upon him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, but with somebody's life, you kind of want to wait on that. Because that's a life.
He's used to following rules, and he's used to being within a broader social ethical context. That's what he's trying to. Just like Dale, that's
what
they're
trying. But it looks like after he had to shoot those guys in the bar, that he got kind of pumped up and was ready to just to go shoot and execute people and, you know, live out in the wilderness and savage like everybody else. But then his ethics kind of reasserted themselves, and he had to think about that stuff, mm-hmm. which was Dale.
That's true.
But now that Dale is dead. You know, what is going to happen to the kid? Who's going to be the moral compass now? Because everybody was sketchy.
Yep.
Andrea came around. I mean, I think it was important that she came around and said, I agree with Dale.
Andrea also wanted to commit suicide and also made it to where somebody else was permitted to commit suicide.
She did.
She's not responsible.
She had the courage to stand up to the entire group and change her mind. She had the courage to change her mind.
Was she being defiant just because everybody else was doing everything else?
No,
she wanted to disagree. But I didn't understand her motives. Like, why did she change her mind? Because she was just so not.
I think that Dale stated his case, and she agreed after a while. Don't you?
That's what I was
suspicious.
Really? No, I thought so.
I think that whole camp will be affected in their own way. It'll be very reflective too. Like people will think back on it, and it'll be a turning point for every character. Some will go the way of civilization, and others will go the way of pure survival. That's what I think.
Oh, so you mean two camps, or it's just continuing?
No, I don't think that they'll physically split into two camps.
Right.
But I think that it will change people in very polar opposite ways.
Okay. Well, yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
What is that gonna do for them, though? Mm-hmm. And will it ultimately lead to them getting off that damn farm?
I hope it's time to go.
I think they might. Actually get off the farm. But I don't know. I think maybe Herschel will die or something.
He has to. And the zombie would have to be like over the farm would have to be overrun. They have to blow up the house or something.
Well, it's interesting that we haven't really seen very many zombies in the last few episodes. And it's interesting that, you know, they usually go to town and encounter zombies. They don't mm-hmm. usually have any wandering by the farm. I've always found that interesting, actually, that they haven't encountered more zombies. They're like, what, a half a mile from the freeway? How does this happen, you know? But
yeah, and they're loud and using guns.
They're loud, and then there's that zombie herd thing that at the beginning of the season.
Oh, that was glorious.
I really wanted to know what that was about.
Yeah.
And it was just to look cool. That was mm-hmm. it.
I guess so, but I thought, well, there's a pattern emerging. These zombies are acting like predators now. I mean, they're hunting in numbers, but they never developed that. And then I really, really hope that conversation that Rick and Shane had at the school or whatever that place was episode, I really hope that conversation they had about the no bite zombies comes back up again, because that's very interesting to me as well.
Well, I think the reason why I brought up the cow zombie is because I thought it was related to the no bite.
I know,
zombies.
Me too.
I did too. I agree. I was there with you. And I'm thinking, you know, I predict that they will eventually get off of the barn. It'll probably be either another team comes in and burns it down, or a bad swarm of zombies hits them. But they're going to have to get off that barn. It's getting ridiculous now.
Well, it's unrealistic too that they wouldn't run into any other survivors all this time, and they wouldn't run into very many zombies after all this time. You know, it's several weeks in, right? It's even months into the zombie apocalypse, right?
Yeah, it has to be, because Carl is running around like he doesn't have any more pain from his injury, so it has to be quite some time.
Yeah, so it's unrealistic to keep on going without encountering any other survivors and zombies. It's just unrealistic. So, but one thing I wanted to comment before, before this special edition surprise attack podcast ends, is that they didn't really. What happened to T-Dog?
Thank you.
All he said throughout the whole episode was, what are we going to do with the body?
But
that was
T-Dog
it.
T-Dog has been gone for like four episodes. We have not seen him.
Why isn't he dead? They killed off Dale.
I don't know. It's really strange because they're so careful with everybody else. There's so much detail, so much interesting development. Every single body else. And T-Dog, we ain't heard from T-Dog since the injury of the car door. Remember that? That was it. That's it.
Well, no, he's been killing off like the whale zombie. I mean, the zombie in the whale that they brought up or something. And he capped some zombie within the barn fiasco. But yeah,
not really much character development.
Even the girl in the catatonic state, we know what's going on with her.
That is true.
Laying up in the bed. Are you okay, baby? Where's T-Dog? Who cares? Are you all right, girl? Everything?
We could comment on that, but we, just let it go.
Maybe now that Dale is dead, maybe they will bring his character out a little more.
T-Dog.
You'll become Minister
die.
T-Dog and become the moral compass suck. Of the crew. All he needs
I wonder who's going to like. This is for Dale. Who's going to be that person?
They probably
all... Andrea.
What do you mean, like?
You know, like if they decide.
This isn't how Dale would have wanted it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, Andrea, I vote Andrea.
That's what I said. Yep.
Although, Carol was a surpriser in this past episode. I love how she just, bitched at Carl. That was awesome.
But it was so old lady. You need to get a handle on that young man. I'm just like,
whatever. Do you know what he just said to her after her daughter died? I mean, really, truly.
She watched her kid.
Dude needs to get a perspective.
Somebody needs a spank. Someone needs a spanking. That's all I'm saying. When Shane is telling you, dude, you need to quit getting yourself killed, that's a bad kid right there. That's trouble.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me. It's not Shane that's just the one that's quickly reacts. Rick reacts all the time. He's always tromping out into the city and into the town.
And Shane brings that up every time.
But see, you got to look at their motivations. Rick's motivations are higher moral for the greater good. It's not a reflex. He's like, look, we need food. I'm going out into the town. Look, we got to find someplace else to go. I'm going out into the town. That's the kind of thing that's going on with Rick. With Shane, it's like, you hear that? Shoot it. That's it. What was that? Fire. I got you. Here comes Rick. You know, that's crazy.
I'm glad they made the farm interesting, at least.
Yes, indeed. That's why it's a good show. Even on a farm, an entire season on a farm, they can make interesting. That's a good show.
Yeah. And, even though last episode wasn't nearly as exciting throughout.
We got the showdown, though.
Yeah, yeah. I think that it was very impactful and very powerful.
Yeah.
Even though it was kind of mellow and kind of introspective. Yeah. The end paid off, but even before the end, I mean, some of those scenes paid off for me as well.
It was well worth the pace.
it really was.
Yeah.
It really was.
Do we know how many episodes we have left?
I don't know, but I'm so hoping for more zombie cows. Really? I was that freaked me out so much.
You gotta bring the zombie cows. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch that ending again just so I can make sure zombie cow.
Because it looks so zombie.
Yeah, it looked like it was just getting ready to get up and start, you know, grazing for brains. Yeah.
That would be so horrible. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. So, guys, that is our emergency episode that we just had to get our stuff out. You know, we had to purge all that crap with Terra Nova and the OMFG WTF with Dale.
Poor Dale. Poor Dale.
Yeah. RIP, yeah. Man. Yeah.
RIP.
Yeah. So that's our show, guys, unless you guys have anything else to add or...
I'm done.
You're done? You got it all out, Carl?
I'm feeling lighter, Cass.
Okay. You, Nene, we got it all out?
We did. You know what? I don't have to go to therapy this week. Thank you so much.
All right, guys, we love your feedback. We have a website. You can leave us comments there. It is scifipartyline.com. You can tweet us at scifipartyline. We are also on Facebook. You can like us there. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this show. And we will see you at the party next time. Brains.
Bye, Terranova dinosaur bird eyebrows. Bye. So, an emergency meeting, huh?
Yeah, he was like, I gotta have something to say, blah.
So you I was like, yeah, I don't recall it going quite like that.
Okay, so we're, I guess, all right, you guys are ready? Like, Carl, do you want to start an intro, or how do you want to do this?
Yeah, I'll do the intro.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, all right.
I would prefer it if you did it with an empty mouth.
Please,
wait a minute. What are we talking about, though?
So we're talking about the Terra Nova cancellation, which is the reason for the emergency meeting. And then we're going to talk about the... Was that funny to you?
Yes.
It's a yes, combination. It's not just the cancellation of Terra Nova, but it's also the recent changes on Walking Dead.
Yes.
Okay. Now that's the proper response. See,
yeah, no, yeah. That's, I didn't get to finish my sentence because I was just so taken aback by your response to the, like, I got off the bus for this.
'Cause I'm still getting caught up on Earth 2. How's that going to end?
I love how he brings up Andromeda and crap like that.
I am a sci-fi fan, people. I've been through it. I have been through it.
You were a champion, man.
I saw Lawnmower Man 2 in the theater. I've been through it.
Oh, that's God.
Warrior. I'm throwing the gang sign. You can't see it, though. Warrior.
Warrior. I love
there's
that.
There's a gang sign for that? Okay.
There, oh, yeah.
Heck yeah, man.
End of line.